Good morning. I guess Jim and I do look a lot alike. So I hope you've all been having a good week, at least better than I have with how the Eagles have been playing, or with how the Phillies played last night. But it's still early, so hopefully we'll come around. And hopefully you all have been enjoying the fall weather as well. Somehow seeing for me the leaves fall and visually seeing the season change has always been satisfying to me, and it's probably why fall is my favorite season. Fall is where you get to see the end of a season, and then we tough it out through wintertime, and eventually we make it to spring, which in its own way is its beautiful beginning. So in the season of spring, we get to see life emerge after long months of there being no signs of life, from the grass turning greener to the buds and trees and flower beds blooming. We visually see the beauty of God's creation come to life, and the wonders of his creations go to work and transform the environment from what was once chilly to a prosperous, colorful, warmer environment. Now, if you're a fan of the winter season, I'm not trying to bash you for liking the winter season. It's just not for everyone. Unless it's snowboarding, then we're on good terms. But life is beautiful, and life has beautiful beginnings. The birth of infants, for example, the embrace a mother has with their child is a moment that the mother will hold on to for the rest of her life. While it may seem like motherhood begins once the child is born, life for the child begins inside of the womb. So today there will be selected verses that we will be looking at today, but the main one comes from Psalm 139, more specifically verses 13 to 16. So with me, go ahead and turn to this psalm. And as you do that, I would just like to first share that the topic of abortion will be brought up. And before we go further into today's topic, it is not my intent to shame those who may have had abortions or know someone that has had one. I understand that there are debates surrounding this topic and that there are cases which such is natural in terms of a miscarriage or the life of the mother is on the line. Before we go into today's reading, and before we go into it, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to gather as a church and discuss your word. We thank you for the beautiful creations that you have made, even when they are taken for granted. Lord, guide us today as we look through the scriptures and discuss the importance of your beautiful creation and the gift of life that is brought to light at conception. Allow yourself to speak through the words that are spoken today, words that honor and glorify you. Guide our thoughts and our hearts so that we may continue to grow closer to you every day. It is in your name we pray these things, God. Amen. So today's scripture reading, Psalm 139, 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, when yet there is none of them. This is the word of the Lord. So this past summer, I had the opportunity with the youth to go over the issue of the prosperity gospel. And we had a bunch of lessons regarding that, and even some of us watched a documentary surrounding it. But a pattern that I noticed when putting the lessons together and doing research on the different churches and preachers that sadly push for this teaching of the prosperity gospel was that they really had themselves in mind and they really only cared for themselves, but they were labeling it as serving God. abusing their power position and leadership for their own self-gain. It doesn't take much for a reasonable person to know that trying to use God to get what you want is not going to work. God is not a genie from Aladdin where you get to rub the bottle and he gets to grant you three wishes. And it's not just in churches that we see this today, but it's also in our daily lives through sports or politics or anything to boost someone's liking amongst a specific group. But connecting God with any of man's own deceiving intentions is a disgrace to him. I'm not saying it's bad for someone to go and call unto God for help or guidance. As it says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. But when the intention and heart behind seeking God is for your own self-gain, that is where it is wrong. Man does have a history of seeking out what is best for themselves rather than glorifying and honoring God. Romans 1 begins to look more and more real when we compare that to which we see around us today. Therefore, God gave them up in their lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their own bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, in context, this is talking about them giving into homosexuality and giving into their own fleshly desires, but it's still important to address, as this shows how man has this track record of putting themselves and their body and fleshly desires before God. And his original intention for us, which is to multiply the earth, as it says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. So what does any of this have to do with today's topic about beautiful beginnings, the gift of life from God? Well, it sets up how man is so focused on themselves today and what they want, abusing God's intentions for the gift of life and the provisions that he gives, with an example of this abuse being abortion. So as I mentioned briefly already, abortion is a sad reality, no matter the circumstance, both for the child in the womb and sometimes the woman. What has become even more sad is the numbers of abortions that take place yearly. According to studies, 73 million lives annually, 200,000 daily, 8,333 hourly, 138 per minute, and roughly 2 per second. I do not share this information just to share it. I share it because a good percentage of those lives are being taken not because of medical concerns for the mothers or because of sexual abuse, but because of fear, poverty, and pressure. In the state of California, it is considered a felony to intentionally kill an animal. All other states also have varying animal cruelty laws. But the point here is that there is a problem when pets or animals are given more protection and rights than babies in the womb. It is the taking of a life of a baby that is against God, what God intended for creation. And Satan wants nothing more than to destroy God's creation, as it says in John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. The killing of an infant and newborn children is not a recent discovery, nor is the woman solely to blame for taking such actions. For example, in the Old Testament with Moses, it reads, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile. You shall let every daughter live. Or in the New Testament with Jesus, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise man, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time. These terrible acts of murder were done in the hopes to secure power, and were done by man. Today, women can be faced with the pressure of men or family to go through with an abortion or face the consequences for not doing so. This has led to abortion being more done in secrecy for a time, to avoid judgment from others. But on the flip side, it has also become a more normalized practice today, to the point that it is now publicly accepted by most Americans, 63% according to the Pew Research Center. People have become so focused on claiming of their own bodies that some deem it unfair for life to form inside of their body. While in rare cases, women can be a victim, we need to recognize that there is also another victim present. Pastor John MacArthur has this to say about life's beginning. Love your neighbor as yourself, and even the Jews knew when life begins, that becomes your neighbor. Life begins in the womb. Life's beautiful beginning, God's gift of life, has become less seen as a gift in the world today. The Bible is clear on things that God does not approve or even hates, murder being one of those things. As it said in Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder, or Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Or Proverbs 6:16-17, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. The Bible is ever so clear on its stance for murder. And the world that we live in today understands this partly. For example, if someone goes and kills someone else in the street, they are convicted of murder and are punished for it. Yet the world has accepted to have abortions for personal sake or preference or gain. Statistics say 95% of abortions here in the U.S. are a result of unintended pregnancies and are done through the child being unwanted. Even in the face of all that has taken place, man seeks to justify why what they are doing is okay, creating movements such as my body, my choice. However, the child developing inside of your body is not its own, is its own and not ours. There are also claims that children have become too costly to care for. However, the average American already has $103,000 of debt by the age of 27, not including child care, according to Business Insider. Or the claims that the world is just not a good place to live in, so I'm doing the child a favor by removing it from this life. The fact that both men and women are trying to justify their reasoning behind an abortion shows that this was not the natural design. If it was part of God's design, then justification would not be necessary. Those who think this way and are in acceptance of aborting under selfish circumstances are robbing life of millions of children and halting the opportunity to give glory and honor to God through these lives. Now, I know that what I have shared so far might not be the most enticing information, but usually the truth isn't. But there are a few points going forward that I would like to share on the importance of life and why we ought to advocate more for the lives of the children who are not given a chance to enter this world. So I'm going to be reading from verses 13 to 16 of Psalm 139 again. And it reads, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. And yet there was none of them." So a quick overview of this psalm. It's part of David's collection. which points to him most likely being the author. And this popular psalm is a display of the all-knowing God, his vast, unlimited knowledge that man themselves cannot understand or fathom. The set of verses read also play a vital role in showing the importance of life in the womb, which we will come back to later. But the first point that I want to make is that life is a gift from God. In verse 14 of this psalm, it shows that the works of God are wonderful, and therefore implies that life that is given is wonderful. It's not by accident that man came into being. God is intentional with his designs and his creations, both past, present, and future. Life is a gift from God, no matter what stage someone is at in it. For I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God creates, sustains, and cares for all life, even when we are undeserving of it. This gift should only be seen as more valuable, especially after looking at how some treat this gift from what we discussed in the introduction. There is value in life, and God sees that and offers that through the gift of children. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, this is from verse 15 of Psalm 139, by intent man comes to be, and by intent is man to give their lives to God, and not destroy the lives of others whom they are not the founding creator of. Man is not the creators of their own bodies, therefore our bodies are not our own, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Our lives are from God and should be given to God. For man were bought out of damnation through the blood of Christ, and life is a gift from God. Therefore, man should also treat it with great respect. The intentional killing of an infant, both done in the Bible and today, does not display such respect towards God or his gift. In an ever-growing world focused on being right all the time, have we ever considered slowing down and looking at the wonders of God's gift? There's beauty in life, and sometimes slowing down is all that people need to see that. A woman who slows down and gets an ultrasound and sees and hears the heartbeat of their child in the womb doubles their chances of not having an abortion. It is easy to be moving too fast to appreciate the gift of life that has been given by God. There are also influences or organizations and other media platforms that can distract people from God's gifts and make decisions for them rather than themselves. The gift of life that God has given us is a blessing. Every inhale and exhale are a gift, for he breathed life into man, as it says in Genesis 2. Ladies and gentlemen, the focus should not be a disservice towards an organization or influence or how other people view us or think of us. The focus should be the disservice being done to God and the gift of life that he has granted us with. See, God is the giver of life in all creation. Blessed is he whose help is from the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, Psalm 146, 5-6. Being the creator of all things, man was made by God and are made in his image. Which leads into another reason people ought to advocate more for unborn children in life, is that man is created in God's image. The beauty of life is not only does man get to see God's creation, but man also gets to be a part of it. Part of the good creations that God has made, God's creations are good. In Genesis 1, 3-4, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from darkness." Or in Genesis 1, 9-10, God parted land from water and saw that it was good. Genesis 1, 12, God created vegetation, fruits, and saw it was good. In Genesis 1, 21, he created the birds and the sea creatures, and he saw it was good. You get the point. That all that God has created up to the point was good, including man, and they all had a beautiful beginning. However, sin then entered the world. But even despite that, even with the fall of man, God still saw his people and loved them as they were made in his image. It is no surprise to any of us that God's people at many moments throughout history had sinned and damaged their relationship with their Father. An example of this is the Israelites at the grounds of Mount Sinai, who after being delivered from the hands of the Egyptians and crossing the Red Sea and seeing miraculous things happen, they go and make a golden calf to worship because of the delay of Moses. Or perhaps in Numbers 25, where we see the Israel people who take on daughters of Moab and make sacrifices to their gods. There are repeated cycles of sinful nature from God's people, but at the end of each of these cycles, there is renewal. Again and again, they fell into disobedience, but then made restoration through the mercy and grace of God. The early church and current church are the same. The difference is that our sacrifice has already been given to us through Christ, who was the perfect image of God because he was God. And although we will never be perfect here on earth, we are still made in the image of God, and Christ is our example. Man should be striving to try and be that image and not destroy it before it has the chance to leave the womb. As it was read in Psalm 139, we are knitted and formed by intention through God in the womb, and even though we are all born into sin, God still loves us, both as adults and children. This is displayed through Jesus in Mark 10, as it reads, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus saw, and he said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them into his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." Children are a gift from the Lord, just as life is a gift. The Bible repeatedly shows children being from the Lord, as it says in Psalm 127, 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." The fruit of the womb, an image bearer of the Lord. As John MacArthur has also quoted, and quote, "Conception is an act of God," end quote. Man is not their own image, nor should they try to be, as the results in the world today speak for themselves. The more man has pushed for their own agenda, the more we have seen man stray further and further from God. God is the creator of everything, and man is in his image. Mankind is not the creator of their own image, nor the creator of life that is brought into existence in the mother's womb. Nothing exists that God did not create. God knows all that is and was and is to come. From verse 16 of Psalm 139, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God knows the author through and through, knowing the heart, knowing his heart and his life, when it starts and when it ends, and that goes the same for us. It is selfish to think that the life in the womb comes secondary to the pleasures of the world. Psalm 139 is clear that God knows all things and that he is intentional with all things. Writer and minister Matthew Henry points out two important points regarding the specific verses from Psalm 139 that we have read today, with the first being that the glory of it is here given to God, that it is referring to life, and that life is formed and molded by God. for the glory of God. Following that point, he states glorious things are here said concerning it, again, the it being life and being the creation of man, and how great and marvelous such creation is. Being made in God's image and living out that image is not about our own image. While man grows and lives differently, man all starts the same, being made by God in the womb, having the gift of a beautiful beginning. All of our lives should seek out living as an image bearer. So earlier it was stated that I would return to how the verses of Psalm 139, verses 13 and 16 play a vital role in showing the importance of life in the womb. And it has become blatantly clear that the position the Bible has on life in the womb, and that is when life begins. So we're going to do a little sidetrack, but Plato was created in 1950s. Raise your hands if you were alive then. Don't kidding. Don't want to embarrass you. So, unless you really want to and you're proud of that, go for it. So with that came decades of fun with kids, getting to form different shapes and making different creations, or sometimes even consuming it. However, I don't recommend that. But not comparing our Creator to making man from Plato. But God forms us in the womb. He creates our genetic code. As it says from today's reading, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Technology today has allowed for mothers to have ultrasounds and to see their babies inside the womb. However, even before that, God was making our frame. When in secret from man, God knew each life that was being created. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. He saw us before we even started to take frame, before we even started to have that mold, have our bodies molded. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Man cannot say, at no point in their lives, God is not present and God is not involved. He was there and created life. Everyone's lives are numbered, but God already knows how big that number is. The acknowledgement of life in the womb is the acknowledgement that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. More and more people see less of that today. Christians also should not accept or be okay with the taking of innocent life because the world says it is okay to do so. Millions of lives are destroyed each year because of people who are being selfish and false claiming to be victims who choose themselves over the gift of life that God has granted them. The issue of abortion is not a political issue. The issue of abortion is a life issue. God creates all things, including us, from the moment of conception to our final breaths. God knows us. Pride, ego, fear, judgment, abandonment, and more have blinded people from seeing the life inside the womb as one of God's creations and gifts to man, causing many to not second guess the life that they decide to take. Life is a gift from God. No matter how many lives are taken each year, man can rest assured that those lives are with God. Look at 2 Samuel 12:23 when you get the chance. But with beautiful beginnings, there are also beautiful endings. When life comes to an end on this earth, we are then reunited with our Holy Father in heaven. It is that time in between that we ought to show Christ-like love towards those who may not share the same views or beliefs. Especially with the election coming up, it is easy for this country to feel more divided than ever. Christians ought to remind themselves who is always in control. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand, as it says in Proverbs 19:21. Man's agendas do not equate to the glorious plans that God has, nor the power that he controls. There is hope in Christ, who came in human flesh, died for our sins on the cross, and rose from the dead, wiping away our sins and giving mercy and grace for all of mankind. There is hope for those that may have had abortions in the past, whether they knew that they had life in the womb or not. There is hope in seeking forgiveness and repentance, which God has already given. All man must do is confess their sins and accept Jesus as their Savior. As it says in Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I would encourage you that if you are struggling with a sin or know someone who has, you would share this verse with them and let them know or remind yourself that man is forgiven. And that even in a world where the taking of newborn life has become normalized, there is still a God who still loves us more than we could ever imagine. It was not my goal to be the Debbie Downer, nor was it to make anyone feel guilty. It was to bring light to the beauty of life, the gift of life that God has given us, the image that man is made in, and the importance of life in the womb. So as our team comes forward to sing our closing song, know that the life we have is given to us, given through the hands of God, and that before we were even conceived, God knew us and had a relationship with us. So I want to end with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., and quote, "Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expectancy asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but because conscience tells one it is right," end quote. So it is not about what we want, it is not about our bodies, nor is it about what others may think of us. The question, is it right, should be a question that has God at the center and gives him all the glory. God has given us the gift of life, allowing for beautiful beginnings to take place. Team.